Bibles open up this evening to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. So as we continue on in our series in the Gospel of Mark, we've been following the way Jesus does things. We've been trying to learn from him. We've been trying to see how he reacts to things and how he responds to situations, how he taught his disciples and how he trained the people that were there. And tonight we're going to look at the thoughts or the title. And if you had a title for tonight's message, it would be The Mission of the 12. The Mission of the 12. Mark chapter number 6, we're going to look at verses 7 through 13. Pray for me. I mentioned a couple of people today. They asked me about my voice, and for some reason, I guess it's been scratchy. It doesn't hurt. I don't believe I'm sick. But at the same time, for about 10 days now, it's been a little scratchy, and so I knew that trying to teach children's church, even though I don't do much in there, and to go from Sunday school to Sunday morning, but the Lord's given me the ability to do it. I know some of you have been praying for me, but yes, I do not believe that I'm sick per se. But at the same time, hoping that my voice will hold out to the rest of this evening. And that way tomorrow, I just don't have to talk at all tomorrow. And my family probably would be happy. Now, look at that. So Mark chapter number 6, let's jump in here in verse number 7. And he called unto him the 12. Now, who are they referring to, the 12? He's referring to the 12 disciples that we have already been introduced to. And we know, remember, he ordained them. And what did he call them to do? He called them to be with him. We cannot lose that. We cannot miss the importance that Jesus, for these 3.5 years, discipled his disciples. We talked about in Sunday school this morning as we're beginning a series on the Sermon on the Mount, specifically the Beatitudes. There was multitudes that were there, but the Bible says that Jesus saw the multitudes and he went up into a mountain. He sat down. He began to speak to them and to teach them. And it's amazing. Most people would say we should be focused on the multitudes. And it says his disciples came and sat there. Now, I don't think it was just the 12 back in Matthew chapter number 5, but it wasn't. He was not at that moment in time addressing the multitudes. He was addressing those that wanted to learn of him, those who wanted to not only hear Jesus teach, but a disciple is one that learns and actually adheres to the teaching, who actually becomes like them. As we mentioned, they were called Christians first in Antioch. Why is that? Because they were Christ-like. It talked about how they looked at the boldness of Peter and John, and they took notice that they were unlearned fishermen, but they recognized something. They had been with Jesus. That is what a disciple is, one who not just hears, is one who learns, one who adheres and becomes like them. So he's calling these 12. We know in these 12 there is one who is not a true believer, not a true disciple. But those others, as he was sitting there and as the challenge this morning, let Jesus be the one to disciple us through his word. And you look at Matthew chapter number 5, as we look at those Beatitudes, we begin thinking about poor in spirit, those that mourn, those that are meek, those that are over and over there challenging things there. And what is he doing? He is discipling them. When we think of discipleship, we think, okay, we're thinking bottom line, basic knowledge, so that way people can build upon the foundation. But sometimes, so often, we stay in that foundation level that they don't continue to grow. And Matthew chapter 5 is discipling them. He's teaching them. He's preparing them. This is what it really looks like to look like what I am. Here, same thing. He's getting ready to leave. And we talked about this morning, you know, we think about all the time and how busy we are. We think about all the challenges we have with the 40 to 50 hour work week or 60 or 70. I don't know how many hours that maybe you work. And then we think about children and we think about their responsibilities and all the different activities. And then you got a church that tries to stay busy that says, hey, we should go to outreach and hey, we should go to church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And then we have activities in there and it's like it's over and over. We think about how much our time is pushed and squeezed, but can imagine that God became man and for 3.5 years ministered. And those 3.5 years, he was going to teach. He was going to train a group of people to go out into all the world and turn the world upside down for him. So if anybody did not have a lot of time, it would have been Jesus. And we see here that this is a training time and this is a training moment that he sends them out. And there's some important and interesting things about this mission of the 12. He called unto them the 12 and began to send them forth. That idea send is as he is preparing them. He is the one that's giving instruction. He is the one sending them out. We've been sent out. But here you see the specific. He's sending the 12. And he says them forth two and two. Now, it's important to understand that if you're there with someone else, it's going to be an encouragement and help. They're going to lift you up. Two are better than one. It speaks about in Ecclesiastes, but we'll talk probably a little bit more about that in a little while. And gave them power over the unclean spirits. They did not have this power in themselves. This is the power that Jesus had given them. This is a sign gift. This is there to help them, but also to establish that what they are saying is truth. And this is the power that's there. And we go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. No, we do not cast out demons and we do not heal the sick per se with those sign gifts because we have the completed word of God. But we do have a God that can do all things and that we can pray over people and we can see God work and move, but it's not in the fact of a healer. Verse number 8, and commanded them that they should not. Now, this is where it becomes a little bit interesting. Now, this he says this as the first time. He's going once again in through a certain period of time, not a couple years down the road. He's going to be gone. He wants to prepare these 12. He wants to send them out. This is their first preaching assignment. They're going out two by two. They're going to go into cities. They're going to go into towns. And he wants to help them to learn to live by faith. He tells them, he sends them out, and he says to them, he says, and commanded them in verse number 8 that they should take nothing for their journey. And then it says, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when ye depart, then shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help this evening as we look at this thought, the mission of the 12. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we took this morning's challenge seriously, that I would take it seriously, that we would take time and effort and energy to ask you to search us, that our hearts and minds would be open to your word and to the leading of your Holy Spirit, and Lord, that we would take the time to make sure that we're clean and that we're right. And Lord, as we see the challenge that Jesus sends this group out, he's telling them he wants them to go out and preach. He's telling them he wants to go out and tell the gospel, to tell the good news to people to repent of their sins. And Lord, he's trying to establish some principles in their lives. Lord, number one, that you're going to take care of them. Number two, Lord, that there are going to be those that reject the gospel. And number three, the message still stays the same. God, I pray you would help us tonight. Lord, that we would see the importance of the mission that we've been sent out, that we would learn to live by faith, that we would learn to understand there are going to be those who will reject us, and Lord, that those that will not treat us properly, and then also, Lord, that the message still doesn't change just because someone else rejects us. And Lord, that you would help us understand and see that tonight we would be excited about what you've called us to do. That we can go in your power and your strength because you've promised us that you're never going to leave us nor forsake us. And lo, you said you'll be with us always. As you're giving that great commission, you're telling us that you're going to be there with us. We don't have to do it in our own strength, but by your power and your might. Lord, I pray that you would help us understand some important truths tonight and that we'll understand not it's not just a mission of the 12. It was in this passage, but a mission for all of us. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a couple of things I want you to think about. He says in verse number 7, and he called unto him the 12. These were 12 specific people that God had called to set aside, and he poured his life in them. He was teaching them. He was preparing them for the moment in time that God was going to use them to do something great for him. I mean, they were going to turn the world upside down for him. They weren't ready day one. They weren't. You're going to see that through these 3 years. You see them many times worrying about who's going to be the greatest. And they're worrying about this. And they're worrying about food sometimes. And they're worrying about where this is going to come from. And why don't we just send those people away like it talked about on the feeding of the 5,000. And over, you see throughout this entire story as we're watching people, you know, they wonder, why would Jesus ever want to talk to the Samaritan woman? Why would he ever touch the leper? Why is he doing all these things? He's preparing them. He's teaching them so that way he can send them out on a mission. Now, this is a short preaching mission, but there was going to be a time that he was going to leave and he was going to send his spirit, yes, but no longer was he going to be physically with them anymore. And he was preparing them for the mission that he had set aside. Now, how do we apply that to our lives? We don't always understand what we're going through. We don't always know why we face certain challenges. We don't even understand why God made us certain ways. We don't understand why God sometimes gives us shortcomings, and sometimes he gives us extra talent in every area. And I want you to understand, as we talked about this morning in Psalms 139, he knows all about us. He knows our thoughts. We can't run from him, and he cares for us, and he loves us. He has molded us and made us for a particular purpose and a reason, and he has a mission for us, a plan. And just like he was teaching these disciples the truth in here, he wants to teach us the same things. He wants to continue on learning so he can use us for his honor, his glory. Don't run away from the issues of your life. Don't run away from the things that are going on. Learn to let God work through them with you. Learn to let and trust the Lord to see you through the things, because there is many times, if not oftentimes, if not all the time, he is using certain areas and he's making things work together for good. He said, I don't know why God has this person in my relation, in my life. I don't know why God has allowed this physical thing to happen, or this financial thing to happen, or why this trouble has happened, or why God has blessed me. He is always working. He's always teaching. He's always moving. And that's why he comes to these and he says he's called them. We've all been called. And he begins to send them forth. And as he has sent us out into all the world to preach the gospel, he sends us forth. And then he says two by two. I think it's good to understand that. I think pairs are wonderful. Pairs are ways that they can be a challenge. I remember as the assistant pastor, I used to go out oftentimes door knocking by myself. I'm not complaining. I'm not whining. I remember Brother Barnhouse used to tell me the same thing. He's like, when I did it many times, I would come by myself and he would just go in. He would spend hours just out there. And me, I would spend different days, probably shorter periods of time. But sometimes it could be discouraging. And if there was someone there that was with me that would say, hey, let's go ahead and do another door. Let's go do another street. They encourage one another. They lift one another up. And even if it's just a silent partner that's there going with you, and instead of getting discouraged and saying, I don't know if I should go to the next door. You know what? I'm a little bit tired. Or look, I have more things to do. I have other things to do. And that's why I think he tells them to go forth by two. I think that's a scriptural pattern. I don't think it's wrong to go by yourself. I think sometimes there's dangerous things of going by yourself, and you should want to be careful. We think about Philip. Philip went out by himself in the book of Acts, and we saw Philip go and start a great revival. I understand all those things, but I'm telling you, if you find someone who's going to help you and find someone who's going to be an encouragement to you, if you would find someone that is going to lift you up, who you are near, who you spend time with is who you're going to become like. That's why it's so important we spend the most time with Jesus. But also, we need to be around people who's going to encourage us in our walk. We don't need to be around people who are going to be lacking faith. We're not going to be around people that are just going to kind of drain us from those things that are going to stop us from want of serving. We want to be around someone else that says, hey, let's go around the next corner. Let's keep on going. There's somebody that could be lost over there. Let's push ourselves with our faith. Let's be faithful in church. Let's support missionaries. Let's pray together. Now, don't get me wrong. We don't turn our back on those that are struggling, but we don't let them influence us. God's called us to work with them. God's called us to pray for them. God's called us to carry one another's burdens and try to help them to grow up in their faith. But at the same time, the people that we allow in our lives and people we allow to dictate and help us become like are those that are strong in their Christian faith. Those are the people that we want to be around. Those are the people that we want to be near. And he sends out two by two. It doesn't specifically say in this passage of scripture who the partners were. There is another time when they were sent out in another passage of Scripture where it discusses who the partners were. It's an interesting study. We're not going to get into it tonight. But could you imagine being Peter's partner? You would have to be the silent partner all the time, probably with him. Could you imagine being Judas Iscariot's partner? Or the zealot's partner? You know, or Matthew, the publican, all those different things. But they were set up together because they had a mission. They had a common purpose, which to reach others for the cause of Jesus Christ. And then you see here, and I like this, two by two, and look at the dynamic of the people. You see the people he called. You see the dividing of the people. It's two by two. He's trying to focus and get as much done as he can, but also do it in a God-honoring way. But you see the dynamic. It says, gave them power over unclean spirits. This word translated power involves authority. Though the authority is its main meaning, it also involves the capacity and ability. The disciples would need all these things in order to fulfill their commission. This was the commission that God had given them. I want you to see about not only the members of the mission of the 12, I want you to see the possessions in the mission. Now, I know some people will look at this and say, well, this is what he told them to do. He says, and commanded that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. If you begin to look at these things, the script is talking about a bag that would carry provisions. It talks about the purse being a money bag that would be the belt of the girdle. And it talks about sandals. And back in Bible times, two coats would be a sign of wealthiness. He says, no, this is a frugal journey. And I think it's, and to me, when I'm reading this, it's like it's time to go. You need to get going. You need to be ready. You need to be ready to move. And as you're leaving, I want you to walk by faith. And I want you to realize that God will provide every one of your needs. You say, well, why don't we do that today? We are supposed to walk by faith. Well, you say, well, missionaries were here last week getting things to prepare. They're still walking by faith. And later on, you see Jesus talks as he's nearing the cross, giving a different type of mission. But with this mission, he's saying, this is what I want you to do. I want you to walk by faith. I don't want you to take anything that's there. I want you to be frugal this time. He says, I want you to learn something. I want you to travel by faith. He says, I want each provision that you know comes from the Lord. And each provision comes from the hand of God. And each provision, each meal, each place. He even says, take nothing. The fidelity of their ministry was evident in their frugality of their possessions. The world could not accuse them of trying to fleece the people. The world could not accuse them of just taking offerings or just try to get people to give. And that's not the purpose of this mission. That's not the purpose of any mission. Now, once again, you say, you guys came off of missions conference. This is when we present needs and we push forward. Here's the needs that people have and they surround around the world. And we ask God to speak to your hearts. No one's trying to twist anyone's arm when it comes to giving. This is how the Lord blesses. And we talked about blessed is more blessed to give than to receive. And I think we've learned that and we've seen God work. We've seen God move. And we've seen that all throughout the Bible with these examples. But he tells them this time, make sure you're being frugal. And look what it says in verse number 10. Of the places of the mission. The places disciples would need lodging in their travels and meetings. The places there were spoken of that they needed a spot to stay. And it says, in what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. This is tough because sometimes you're saying you don't know where you're going. And when you go into that house, you realize you're going to be an inconvenience to that person. And I hate being an inconvenience to people. I think probably many of us would say that. But it is what the Lord is saying here. I want you to trust me. I'm going to provide you food. I'm going to provide you housing. I'm going to do this. And you have to take these steps of faith. And even though you might think it's an inconvenience, it's a time where this person gets a blessing and gets an encouragement that the man of God is in their house and they're there and they're teaching. And he says here, it's what place soever you enter in the house without the convenience of motels and hotels, the disciples had to stay in private homes. They weren't, if you see here, they weren't supposed to move around. And whosoever shall not, it says at the end of verse number 10, what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. It wasn't supposed to be, hey, find the best place. If you find some place better, go over there. It's not that. It's not a game. He's saying with this, pay attention. Let the Lord take care of you. Don't try to cause discontent or dishonor by moving from one spot to another. Be thankful. Don't let disruptions happen. Focus on the ministry. Focus on what you've been given a job to do. And you don't cause dissension by saying, oh, thank you for letting me stay here for a few nights, but I'm going over here now. And sometimes in our lives, we forget about our mission, we forget about the purpose, and we forget about what we're trying to accomplish. Let the Lord lead us. And so the main thing I see here first in this whole story is God will take care of us. He will. He will. That's what he wants these 12 to learn. If you go out by faith, you go do what I've called you to do, what I'm sending you to do, what I'm empowering you to do, I will take care of you. I don't want you to take any money. I don't want you to take any food. I want you to take any provisions. You got your sandals on your feet. You got your coat. Now go. Boy, that's a challenge. And he's teaching them to go by faith. Later on, when he sends them out, the message is different. The instruction is different. But for this message and this lesson, he's trying to teach them. I want you to see the punishment in the mission too. Look what it says in verse 11. It's an interesting verse. And it said, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart, then shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So what are they saying? Those who do not receive you or hear you. The sins for the punishment was twofold. If they did not receive them, talking about God's servants, sometimes it's not popular. Sometimes the gospel message is not something that people want to hear. Sometimes they'll shun you. Sometimes they'll reject you. Sometimes they'll be verbally abusive. Sometimes they'll be physically abusive. And he says to them, do not, I think he wants them to learn something. Not everyone will receive the message. As you go to the book of Acts, you go to the book of Romans, we learn, hey, not everybody receives the message. There are some that reject or some that push away. This is speaking about the gospel. This is speaking to those that do not want to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's servants many times are not popular with people. Many times they face a rejected message. If they do not hear you, the rejection of the ministers or the preacher is something that is inseparable. Many times the rejections of the word of God and the preaching of the word of God. So what does he tell them to do? He says to them, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. So that sounds a little bit interesting. It was a custom of the Jews when they returned home from a heathen country to the Holy Land to shake off the dust from their feet. The act symbolized their separation from and detestation of the country's ways. So disciples were to do likewise to those places that rejected them and their message. This was symbolic act of the fact that they refuse to hear the gospel. They refuse to hear the truth. And he says, he is shaking off the dust and saying, that is on you. And that is the truth that's on you. And then they go to another spot. And look at the last thought there. Verily I say unto you in verse number 11, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. He's saying, look, in Sodom and Gomorrah, we know that they were destroyed because of their wicked sins. And he's saying it's going to be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment than those that would reject the truth, that would reject the gospel. And that's a powerful thought there. We should not continue to reject the truth. We should not continue to reject the word of God, hear the gospel that's being preached and taught. And they're there. They, as you see in verse number 13, they cast out many devils. They anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. You saw the power of God in their life, but they said, no, we don't want you. We don't want your Bible. We don't want the gospel. We don't want the word of God. So, but do they change? They don't get angry. They don't get mad. You don't see them acting in flesh as in the sins of the flesh. What do you see them do? And they keep on going. Look what it says in verse number 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. So what happens here is God's going to take care of you. Not everyone's going to respond to the message. But the third thing is the message doesn't change just because someone doesn't respond. The message doesn't change just because someone does not respond. It says that they went out and they still preached that men should repent. What does the word repent mean? I believe in the most basic form, repent, talking about a change of heart that will lead to a change of action. It means when it comes to salvation, it means turning to the Lord, repenting from your sin of unbelief and turning to God and putting your faith and trust in Him, believing. And as you believe, God's going to do a work in your heart and your life. Repentance, that's the message there that continued on. And then you see the performance. The performance, they went out, they obeyed. They went out in verse number 12. Verse 13, they cast out many devils. They anointed with oil. We see the works that were there. They continue on. There was a power that was given. And then when we go out in His strength, and we go out in His power, we're going to see God work. We're going to see God move. We're going to see God answer our prayers. I know it's a different dispensation, and it's different ways that are done. But I want to encourage you today, remember what your mission is. Remember what the mission that God's given you. It's all different for different people. Are different levels of the mission. First, my responsibility is my relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then my family. And then my ministry. And all those different things. There's certain spots and certain ways. I got to remember what God's called me to do. He's called all of us to reach out to the lost. And He's called me to pastor a church and to preach and to disciple and to do all types of different things. We were in our deacons meeting this past week. We began talking about, we're reading through a book called Talk About the Baptist Deacon. And we're talking about what a deacon's supposed to be looking like scripturally. And I was encouraged by the chapter because the first chapter says, don't lose sight of the big purpose. What's the main purpose of the church? To reach out to those that are lost. Yes, we're going to edify. Yes, we're going to encourage. We're going to encourage people to grow. We're going to teach. We're going to baptize. And we're going to disciple. We're not just going to disciple the foundational things. We're going to continue on learning and growing like Jesus was with this group. They understood the foundational things. Now He's saying, I want you to take a step of faith. I want you to go out into towns and cities. You've watched me do it. You've seen what I've done. You've seen the response that I've had. Now I want you to go and do the same thing. And then they come back. What does Jesus do? He teaches them another lesson. What is He doing? He's pouring Himself in there with the situations that happens. What happens next? It talks about how John the Baptist loses his head. He's beheaded. And then Jesus says, let's go off to a desert place and let's go get some rest. And what happens then? We have the feeding of the 5,000. And then we have them out in the boat and then Jesus walking on the water. What is He doing? He is teaching them. He's discipling them. He's bringing situation after situation, training them and making them ready for the day He's not going to be there to prepare them to do more in the future. Don't lose sight of the mission that God has given us. Do not lose sight of what God has purpose in our life. And sometimes we get distracted. And we talked about amongst our deacons, we talked about some of the things that is a challenge in the church. And we talked about legitimate concerns in the church. We talked about how the first century deacons and how they were brought on board to help be a blessings and serve to the church. So that way the pastor could have the freedom to study and pray more and give his life over to that. And we talked about, and I encouraged him, look, there's legitimate concerns. There are things and there's questions like there was with the widows that need a proper response, that need a focus. But also sometimes there's preferential concerns. Sometimes there's things that are people's preferences and they're not really truly legitimate at times. Instead, they're not essential to the mission of the church. Some people use the idea of what color the pews are, or what color the paints on the walls are. And sometimes people get so upset and a little bit upset about or a lot upset about things that are more non-essential things. And the challenge is don't get lost on the mission. Don't get lost on reaching the people for Jesus Christ. Don't get so stuck on some things that are non-essential or more of a preference to the point that it stops you from serving to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. And then it talked about how there are sometimes carnal concerns. And it talked about how I wrote unto the church but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth not. It talked about people that move things and do things carnally, fleshly. And that there are people sometimes in church that do things carnally and fleshly, that want attention, that want things their ways, and they're not doing things by the Spirit. And instead, they are causing people to stop the commission, stop what the big purpose is for the church, to move forward, to preach and teach the Word of God, to go out and reach the world for Christ. And don't let preferential things stop you. Don't let carnally minded things stop you. Don't let satanic attacks stop you, and other things. And I tried to, just for a few moments, to encourage him, and they encouraged me too by saying, hey, look, let's make sure we stay focused on the main goal. There's obviously need sometimes, things that need to be taken care of. And sometimes when there's preferences there, we listen and we pray about things and we do what we believe the Lord's going to call us to do. But we don't let carnal people dictate what the ministry should look like. And with the carnal, we don't let carnal people dictate exactly what happens inside the church. And we fight against the satanic oppressions that are there and the things that happen. We do not let people that are acting unscripturally be the ones who decides what's going to happen and not going to happen. Acts chapter 20 puts it this way: for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day. Paul is saying, be careful for your church. He's speaking to a group of pastors. Be careful for your church. Don't lose sight of the mission. When you leave, there's someone else that's going to enter in, and they're not going to care about your flock. You may think that every pastor cares about their flock, but no, there are some hirelings, some that are not in it for the right reasons. And this is the whole purpose why he takes them and has them go through. Would have been wrong for them to have money in their pocket. Would have been wrong for them to have food. Would have been wrong for them to wear 2 goats. Would have been wrong to do any of those things. The answer is no. And the answer is no. But what is he doing? He's teaching them. He's training them. Do not run away from the situations God has put you in. Allow God to take those things and work them together for good. Allow God to show you that the mission is important and that he has called us to do something, and he will take care of us. No matter what we have or do not have, God will provide. He says these people would enter into a town. As they enter into a town, they would have to find a place to stay. That can't be the easiest thing. But God provided. He would have to find a place, someone to feed them. You say, well, pastor, and it wasn't like they were just going to go by the side of the road and find something laying there. I mean, obviously God can do that, but someone was going to help take care of them. So that dismisses the idea of the fact that the people should not support the preachers. They were going to be there. He's just saying, I don't want you to plan out ahead of time. I want you to see God work, and I want you to see God move. And as you're faithful and as you take these steps, God will provide and God will provide and God will provide. But you will come across people. You'll come across times when there are people who will reject your message and they will reject what you're teaching. And he says, just shake off the dirt. If they don't want the gospel, it's on them. Do your job. Give them the gospel. Give them the truth. Don't worry about your preferences. Don't worry about all those other things. He says, give them the gospel. Tell them to repent. Tell them to turn from their sins. Tell them those things. But even if they don't change the message. So what is our great mission? We don't change the message. We don't change the mission for other things. We continue to move forward. We continue to look forward. We continue to let Jesus disciple us. We continue to let him teach us. And it's amazing as you see this story. What is he doing? Why would he put these guys through this? They've already walked with him. They've already seen this. They must have been ready. And they weren't ready. They still all fled. They all left. They all ran away the night of the night before Jesus died. They were still all timid and sitting in the upper room. They were still all these other things. He was preparing them. He was making them. So as we watch through the Gospel of Mark, we see him preparing them. And we know that he prepares us. We know that he's working in our lives. I don't understand why God allowed this to happen. Ask him. Ask him to search us. Ask him to show us. Ask him. Don't respond carnally. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, oh, when this happens to you, you can respond fleshly. It doesn't say that. You don't see Jesus doing that. When the disciples did that, Jesus corrected them. He is preparing us to continue on our mission. And I don't know what the mission holds around the corner for you, but I know that there's 3 things that we can remember. Number 1 is God's going to take care of you.
Number two, there's going to be sometimes people that will not understand. Be honest with you, there'll probably be more people who do not understand your mission than there would be that do understand. And last but not least, the mission doesn't change. The message doesn't change. The mission, we still go forth, even when people do not respond. Let the Lord take care of you as you go forward with his call. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear my